Hi, welcome back to Voices from the Road. This is Jennifer Robinson. I'm now in Skagit?
Skagit County, Washington.
Skagit County, which is close to Mount Vernon.
Mount Vernon is in Skagit County.
And this is where President Washington is from?
Yes.
No, right?
No, he's not.
But it is named after our first president. I saw his head on all of the billboards.
Okay, no, they actually named the president after the state. yes, the state was named for our first president.
Okay, and I'm here with JP, that's you, the first one to speak, and Courtney.
Hello.
And Kelly. So I'm here being hosted by JP and Courtney. We went to Teen Missions Bible School together. If you were listening to yesterday's podcast, I also went to Teen Missions Bible School with Becky and Zach. So I'm sort of just doing the Teen Missions tour right now. And then Kelly, you happen to be staying, also visiting Courtney.
Correct.
You also went to Teen Missions Bible School, but it was after me, so we had not met previously.
No, but Courtney and I went for 4 terms together, and we went on our first Teen Missions team together 17 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It was both of ours.
Both of ours. Trinidad.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Courtney, you and I also did a summer team together and led a group of teenagers to Prince Edward Island, Canada.
Correct.
Where they
got lost and wound up there.
Oh, yeah.
Sea-doos. I don't remember getting lost, but I do remember that the whole point was to be on a sea-doo all summer long. So I don't know how much volunteering we did, but the teenagers had a lot of fun. You know, the thing that you ride in the water. But the Sea-Doo is the thing you do tricks in the water?
It's a jet ski.
A jet ski. Yes, okay. Yes.
But you sit down. Jet ski, yes. Technically you stand up, and the Sea-Doo is you sit down, I think.
Right, and the teenagers did, like, formations. It was supposed to look really cool. Right. That was the point.
Right.
To look cool.
I'm sure so many people got saved because of it.
Right. because of those awesome formations.
Right.
Exactly.
And then the song we sang afterwards.
That's how I came to Christ.
Right. But I remember we also sang songs with hand motions. That,
oh,
like, waves of mercy, waves.
That was so cool.
So, I mean, it's good for a laugh now.
Oh, my gosh.
But tonight, I mean, we've mostly been talking about our faith journeys. It's been so great to reconnect with you guys and to hear, you know, where we've come in our faith. We went to a conservative Bible school. My background was not so conservative. I came from a non-denominational church. So we didn't really have a lot of rules and things. But once we got to Teen Missions, you know, it was quite conservative in just the things as dress. We wore skirts all the time, ties for the guys who were in school. No movies, or we could watch movies in the house, but
no movie theaters.
No movie theaters. We could play Phase 10, but we couldn't play cards that look like the poker cards.
Yeah, you know? We broke that one.
Broke that rule.
cards.
Right. So, I mean, it was interesting that this background that we've come from, and yet I think all of us, you know, we've taken a different journey. Courtney, I think that one of the most interesting things talking to you tonight is, you know, we've talked about faith and even teaching your kids about faith and teaching your kids different ways of thinking about the world and making decisions on their own and thinking independently. What does that look like for you guys?
What does that look like?
One of God's greatest tricks that he's ever played on us is to give our children free will.
Free will. So are you saying you have strong-willed children?
Yes, very much so. We have 4 of them, 2 boys and 2 girls. And each one has been testing the limits from day one. But, I mean, you asked Courtney, but I'll try to lead her in here.
Thanks,
effectively,
JP.
We give them the opportunity to make a choice,
mm.
because as an adult, we're required to make choices. And as an adult, without our parents any longer being responsible for us, we get the freedom to make those choices. So we're training them to make choices and experience consequences as early as possible. So
within a safe zone.
Right. While the consequences are affordable.
Yeah. And we will give them choices that we're willing to work with.
So what does that look like? Or do you have an example?
Well, tonight, my son was really tired. I stuck him in a bed, helped him get dressed. And then he says, what about a special story? And I say, well, do you want to get up and brush your teeth? Or do you want to go to sleep? Like, and I don't want to do the whole 20-minute let's diddle doddle and brush teeth because I have friends over tonight. This is really a special night. So I was willing to forego that.
So he chose not to brush his teeth.
Correct. I was willing to deal with that for tonight. He wanted a special story. And
consequences were affordable.
Yes. I would love to read to him for a few minutes and help him be happy and go to sleep with a smile.
So he made that choice on his own.
He did.
And then how does that apply to teaching your kids about faith? Does it at all?
I think the biggest way, the biggest impact is that, since we aren't following a set tradition or pattern, it's just the kids are seeing, their exposure to God is just what they see in our lives as we go about our daily life. And so the questions that come up from our kids with their natural curiosity, with the different scenarios that we run into and how we deal with problems, they're a lot more natural.
Okay.
One example that we talked about earlier was that my son at about, 5 years old or so, was asking about heaven and what happens after we die. And after having some conversation about that, he made a decision on his own and he said, okay, he was able to express to us, well, I was afraid of dying before, but now I'm not. Yeah, and so just their understanding of God, it just comes from a place of love and not because we drilled some concept into their minds and said, this is what you have to believe.
It comes from a lot of conversations that we have together as life
unfolds, as it happens.
Day by day, right.
So then do you teach from the Bible stories or... you said you're not following some traditions, so that, again, we came from Teen Missions where there was a lot of tradition, even a lot of, I don't know if it's necessarily ritual, but a lot of rules.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that look like for you guys?
Well, I think, in terms of dealing with the system or no system, for us, for me personally, especially, one of the big things I came to understand was, my concept of love was changed to realize God really is patient with us. God really is kind to us. All of these things that I was so fond of quoting from Scripture when I was in church, to now recognizing that even though I said those things, I still acted and behaved as if God was standing there tapping his foot, angry with me, impatient that I hadn't yet achieved some sort of impossible standard of perfection. So when I understood that he really does love me, that he appreciates who I am now, and he's not sitting there going, okay, I'll draw close to you when you've attained some standard, I attained a level of security that's allowed me the freedom to live my life and therefore grow and develop into who he who I am. That is translated into just an greater understanding of freedom, and that I'm not trying to control you, you're not trying to control me, and as we pass this to the kids, they're learning, well, you don't have to read your Bible every day to know God. You don't have to recite certain prayers every day to know God. You don't have to go to church every week to know God. All those things in and of themselves aren't bad, but just knowing that God's real, and that they can have a relationship with him much like they have a relationship with us.
Wow. And I sometimes think about, it wasn't even that long ago that we even, none of us, the common people, didn't even have Bibles,
Right.
Until, I don't know when the first Gutenberg Bible came out, but that wasn't even a part of many people's reality for 1,800 years worth of Christendom. So that's really interesting, relearning this concept, because there is a lot of pressure on us to to do these things every day and to fulfill this, and if not, then you're not a good Christian. Whereas that wasn't a pressure that maybe other generations might have felt, you know, even 200 years ago. I don't know.
It's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
JP, I picked up in what you were saying that your family might not be in church the way you used to be, or at least not consistently, or I don't know how frequently.
Right, yeah.
To the same capacity as before. You know, how has that been for your family or your church community to receive as you've gone through that transition or made that decision?
That's been an interesting journey, and we actually, I wouldn't say had a unique experience in that respect, but we've had a very positive one. So it was a little over 7 years ago that we finally just stopped going altogether. Boy, I'm getting tired. My voice is going away. But effectively, everything that we believed you should be getting out of a church community, we were getting outside of the church community.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of fellowship, every bit of teaching, any kind of worship experience, any kind of acts of service, all these things, ministry, were happening naturally outside of the context of a weekly get-together. Add to that most of the people that we were connecting with, we would wind up having to drive 30 minutes one way just to be a part of that get-together. And at the time, we had multiple young children. My wife was pregnant with another one, and with blood sugar issues and nap time issues, it really was just a mess all around. So the final decision was a practical one.
Mm.
But it was rather interesting that my family has allowed me to be a little bit more of a leader. My parents have looked at their children, of which there are 8, and been willing to learn from them.
Mm.
So my dad, who was already pretty frustrated with church, suddenly saw us not going and yet not, what you might say, backsliding.
Right.
We weren't being led astray, you know, magically because we're sheep or anything. We still had a strong relationship with God. And if anything, doing away with a part of our life that was dragging us down really stimulated a period of 6 months to 18 months of what you might call spiritual growth. Just phenomenal leaps and bounds.
Really?
It was...
Well, if you come from a point where you're trying to grow. And it's like, you're trying to grow. And versus you let that go and you just let life be and you relax. It's amazing what happens.
And so you felt it as a couple that you were growing in your faith?
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, Courtney was thinking ahead of me because I played church very well. I was going to be a pastor. I loved the system. I could do it very well. So I was very committed, and we're going to go, and we're going to have the biblical marriage, and we're going to never be sick, and we're going to be wealthy, and, you know, whatever trend had come along with the people we were hanging out with. But her thinking was already, my relationship with God doesn't depend on how I perform in some sort of prayer circle or going to this particular building every week. So when I finally made the switch, it was like, I suddenly got on similar page as her, and then we were moving forward together. So she wasn't being drug along, kicking and screaming.
So how was that from your perspective, Courtney? So you sort of watched him, you know, move away from the system, or?
Well, it's definitely a journey we took together. But the choice to step away from the church and stay home, I'm not talking home church, I'm just saying to hang out together and to spend time with
in your PJs.
Yeah, I mean, sleep in, relax, have pancakes. And Sundays still are a time of getting together with our families.
Because which, both of your families are from this area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, so, and also they are believers, and we have phenomenal conversations with all of them when we get together. And so it really is a time of fellowship to be together.
So you didn't go through a period of feeling judged for not being in church or anything like that?
That's where I say our you know, I would almost say our situation was unique. Although I'm sure it wasn't. basically, because of the distance that we had to travel, we weren't really strongly connected with the people at the church we were going to at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were, you know, they had their, the way that their group worked, the way that they liked to mesh, get together in fellowship, and it didn't work for us where we were at in our lives. You know, a young couple, not a lot of money, eating out wasn't a huge option. Then we always had the kids to take care of, because by the time church was out, they were a mess, the wife was a mess. And, you know, unless you have a happy wife, you're never going to have a happy life.
Right.
So, for us, the relationships weren't real strong in that respect. I mean, we saw some people later, and they expressed desire to see us, but it really felt like a come to our thing so that we can see you, shake hands with you, and let it be, you know, let mm-hmm. be that.
So you can validate what we're doing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, less about having a strong relationship, more like validate what we're doing.
And that would be your end. Now, I'm in lots of different circles, lots of homeschooling circles, church circles, not really church-founded, but homeschooling circles. And
with other people of faith.
Yeah, with other people of faith. And I found that at least if you just don't talk about it, if you don't get into those kind of conversations, then there's not a lot of room for judgment.
So there's no tension.
Yeah.
So you just avoided it.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, I mean, we learned the lingo.
Yeah.
You know, we were raised in it. So it's not real hard to say the right words and the right things at the right time. And
yeah.
And people don't question. You know, once in a while you get a direct response, but there's even ways to work around that.
Right.
You know, God's got us doing something interesting right now. You know, you don't put a real finite end on it, and they just, okay.
It's not like it's any one thing either. It's like with homeschooling, people might ask, why have you chosen to homeschool? Well, there's a million different reasons why we might do one thing or another. For I think for any of us, there's usually more than one reason why we do something.
Right.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, that's a great point, because we've chosen a semi-non-traditional route in many areas of our life. Like, Courtney had all four of our children at home.
Wow.
All natural births. Okay?
In bed, or was it a water birth? Do you do the water?
Various places.
In bed, right here.
Everywhere.
On the floor.
You know, and that freaks some people out.
Yeah.
And we've even heard of people getting upset. Like, that's wrong, that's dangerous. You shouldn't do it that way. And so, yeah, it's, we learn that, I mean, our religion and our spirituality is just another facet of our life. And you just get different experiences with every single person and different trains of thought and different opinions.
Right. And then, so Courtney, you've also mentioned you're part of MOPS and other groups. So that means your kids are, maybe they do have some group activities that they go to, so it's not like they have to go to Sunday school, you know, for the socialization, which is what I think some of us, I mean, some parents start, who don't even go to church, once they have kids, they start taking them to church, you know, like that. So
there's so many unending opportunities for socialization. It got to the point to where we had to schedule in days that we were home. And we wouldn't leave. Like, you know, you're not going to get anything done if you're not home for, like, 2 days a week.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you have mentioned vacation Bible school over the summer times.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, there's little tidbits when you have four young kids. Now, my kids now, they're 5, 7, 9, 11, and we really feel like this is becoming a free time where they're all growing up. They can handle themselves better, less tantrums. Mature, able to, it's wonderful. It really is. But when they're all teeny, like 7 and under, you think, wow, a few hours off every day would just be marvelous. And, something like VBS or Awana's every week. And so we did try those things here and there, and occasionally we'll take them to VBS. I mean, we're not opposed to it at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I take them, we have conversations, like, so not everything that they teach you is true. I mean, I will tell my children that. And
that's the beauty of it, is those first years are so impressionable.
Mm.
And rather than take the first few years of our children's lives and indoctrinate them as hard as we possibly can so that they'll be trained in the way
so they can
go,
have all the right answers.
Right, so they can have all the right answers.
They don't have all the right answers.
Instead, we have focused on teaching them early on to make choices and to to question things and to make a decision on whether something's right or wrong based on a whole lot of more factors than just that big person over there with the candy bar in his hand said it was true.
Right.
You know, I was actually talking about Sunday school, not about the guy in the van on the
street. I was honestly thinking, like, I pictured a Santa Claus, but at church. That's what I was, when you said man of the candy bar.
That's exactly what I was thinking, yeah, you know, but I know how it can sound. That's, you talk about how that, raising them this way to make choices with freedom, that's really been the big part of it is, they can ask, you know, the infernal question, why?
Right.
You know, they want to understand, and we have allowed them to the freedom to go, well, that's not true, you know, that's not necessarily true just because you say so.
Hmm.
It is absolutely infuriating, like I said, that whole free will thing, the strong-willed child. In fact, with our oldest, we have to tell him to stop lawyering sometimes, because you didn't use those exact words, yes, but I meant, and we're the parents, so no lawyering, end of discussion.
Yes. Well, you know, I think that's such a valuable skill to have, because I know that even for myself as a young person, I mean, I did grow up, you know, I'm a rule follower. I love rules. I feel very comfortable with rules. I like knowing exactly what I'm supposed to do and what I'm supposed to say. But then as I became a young adult, I didn't have the skills to say, no, this isn't right, or no, I don't like this. And that affected me personally. I couldn't even make healthy decisions. I couldn't get out of bad relationships. I couldn't do any of that because I didn't have the skill set. Right. And
that's a good word, skill set.
Right. And I think a lot about this because, you know, it's my life. And I also think that as far as faith, you know, I have probably... there was a time in my life when I thought I had all the answers. Probably around that time I was at Teen Missions. And before that as well, you know, I felt like I could answer anyone's question. If an atheist came to me or... you know, anyone, I knew exactly what I was supposed to say and where it was in the Bible. And yet now, you know, all these years later, I've lived a lot more life and I still have a faith, but I can say I have a lot less answers, you know, and I'm okay with that. And yet it's a little bit scarier place to be because you don't have the rules and, you know, but it's also maybe more of a faith, right? Because I have to trust that being in this place is okay.
Absolutely.
And that I have this freedom to have some questions and discussions with God and to have a little bit more leeway with my faith.
Yeah, well, picture this. Kelly and I were having quite a few conversations this morning. And so if you picture, say, a big red barn, and next to the big red barn is one of those split rail fences. And inside the split rail fence is a bunch of animals. Okay, so that split rail fence is... their security. It keeps the wolves out, and they know their boundaries. They know where they're allowed to go, where they're not allowed to go. But unbeknownst to them, the gate's unlocked. Okay? They can get to know the person that is their caretaker, whether they're inside the fence or outside. And outside the fence, there's a whole lot more options than just that patch of dirt they've been scratching around on.
Right.
Okay, you can go spend time in the mountains, you can go see the woods, you can go down to the river, you can go to the hills and see, try grasses and you know, different kinds of food and meet different people, different creatures. And yet, those of us that are on the outside, okay, yeah, we're in more danger in certain cases, but we're also experiencing more life. And our Creator loves to give us the tools necessary, the skill sets necessary to navigate that wilderness. And the people inside, or the creatures inside, are looking outside going, you're nuts. You're in the wrong place because there's a lot of bad stuff out there.
Right.
Not realizing that they're looking through the fence and they're not seeing all the great opportunity that's there.
Yeah, that's a really great perspective and analogy that I hadn't thought of quite before.
We were also talking about sheep and how in regular churches we are described as being sheep. Because it does say so in the Bible that we're all like sheep gone astray, blah, 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 blah. Or bah, bah, bah. But a shepherd is not there with his sheep in little ranks going, mow down this section of grass, now we'll move to this section of grass. They scatter. They're all in the pasture. You just keep a watch out. If there's any big bad wolves or big bad bears or lions, you chase them off. if one sheep wants to go and try this patch of weeds.
That's weeds, not weed.
Weeds. Yes, go try the thistles. You know, whatever. Let the sheep go try the thistles. Now, if the sheep is about to go jump off a ravine, you gotta go and snag its foot and drag it back and maybe beat it on the head a couple times, whatever shepherds do. But a shepherd isn't there ready to beat a sheep just because it moves out of where the rest of the herd is and goes, or the flock, and goes to a section, different section.
I was just thinking flock of sheep.
Flock of sheep.
I always thought birds were flocks. I didn't think about the
sheep's, yeah, flocks of sheep and herds of goats.
Okay.
Whatever. I don't know. They all taste good.
They all taste good.
They all taste good, yeah.
But, you know, God is our shepherd. He says he's our shepherd, which means he sees the big picture. You know, we're just looking at our piece of grass. And that grass looks greener, and that grass looks a little scary, and this sheep is butting in, and, you know, we have our own little places, and we may wander off, and we may even go into the woods. But God knows where we're at, and we don't need to be in ranks. You know, the things that go in ranks are, according to Scripture, stuff like locusts. You ever see a locust swarm? I mean, they're so tightly packed, and you try to kill them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we were talking about sheep, yeah, there were a couple of thoughts that I had, and one of them, from what Kelly was saying, was that we have way more freedom in God than we're aware of. He is not threatened by our curiosity and
questioning.
God's not afraid to be questioned. And that's kind of back to the raising our kids. I mean, that's a huge one, is that we didn't feel safe. It wasn't safe to ask questions.
When you were growing up.
When we were growing up, yeah. And that's one thing our kids sometimes are too comfortable doing.
And asking questions is part of the process of solidifying what you believe.
Right.
So,
yeah,
to get to a strong faith, really a strong faith in God, you need to ask questions.
Yeah, you know, that's actually perfect. That segues right into the other point that I was thinking about with sheep, is that so many are taught to believe that we're stupid.
Right. That's the first thing that came to my mind when we started this sheep discussion.
If you go outside the fence, you're going to be led astray. You know, if you stop going to church every week, all of a sudden you're going to...
You're going to be devoured.
Yeah, you're going to start following some crazy method of thinking and start wearing tinfoil on your head. In some ways, that was one of the most fun things, was that as every day went by after we left the church, every week went by, and people are watching and they're waiting to see what happens.
Is that what you that you felt that? That they were watching and waiting?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So my family, of course, they were the quickest to be, you know, happy and okay with that and follow suit. But Courtney's parents, on the other hand, they had a very free relationship with church. But they're still strong believers in it. And especially, you mentioned the kids question. Okay, that's a big one that... We, unfortunately, because our family's been so accepting, we haven't gotten to directly answer. But, you know, they were concerned. What about our grandchildren? You know, they need to have that church in order to be... They didn't say that, but that was the feeling as they watched us. And we would get recommendations every couple of months.
Wouldn't we?
Yep.
Oh, what kind of recommendations?
There's a new church that's started over here, and we've been a few times, and it's great. They have this kind of worship, or their pastor's really young, or...
Oh, so they were trying to,
They would
you know,
drop hints, and right, you guys so could come with us if you want to.
It's kind of like you're the unbeliever that's like the unsaved neighbor that you have to, you know, everyone's supposed to bring one.
Right.
Right. Yeah, and we have kind of become that. Some people, yeah.
Yep.
Our kids are the unsaved kid that
you heathens.
They're being brought as I guess.
Oh my
BBS
gosh! I never even thought of that. Oh, that's hilarious. Our kids are the unsaved that the other kids are trying to save. That's funny.
Well, you know, sometimes they get a candy if they bring someone, so it could just be that.
Yes, gospel candy.
as you mentioned. Well, thank you both, or thank you all three of you, Kelly, Courtney, and JP, for being so open and honest in this discussion. I think it's a great conversation, and I'm glad that we were able to have it here. It's really, for me, I just love to be able to talk openly about these faith journeys, because we are all on such individual different paths, and I think sometimes we keep them to ourselves, and then we can tend to feel a little isolated, or we don't know that other people are on a similar journey to us.
Yeah.
And so these kinds of conversations, I think, just are really necessary, is what I would say. And yeah. So I thank you so much for joining me in this conversation today.
You're very welcome. I'd like to just, it kind of in closing, or as we sign off, I just want to say people have tried to enter this conversation with me often about, you know, why I don't go to church. And I've always told them it's a lifetime of conversations. Mm. You know, there were so many months leading up to after the fact and in the years following that to take any one thing that's said in one short conversation like this.
Right.
And think that you know everything that it entails is such a limited point of view. And that, I mean, if something was said that really makes you want to enter the conversation, please do. We could sit and talk for months. I love to have a cup of coffee and talk with people about this kind of thing. So just keep the conversation open. Don't make a judgment based on one conversation.
Great. So thank you so much. So you heard it straight from JP. If you have more questions, hit him up. All right. Thanks, everyone. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thank you.